moving in the wrong direction. And obviously, if there is another big upsurge of the virus worldwide, particularly here in the United States, it's going to kill the economy. I mean, and kill lots of people. There are now 609,000 Americans who have died from the COVID-19 virus so far. Today, all of a sudden, there are some reasons to believe that it may not be so dire, though the direction of things is not particularly good. In fact, maybe we can begin, because it seems to me it does speak for a lot of people. And Ken Burns is a smart guy. And he was in conversation with Brian Williams on MSNBC. And he said something extraordinary that I think we have to question and explore and figure out. Could this even be true? Listen to what historian Ken Burns, he's still best known for doing that epic television special on the Civil War and many other great ones on the history of jazz and the history of baseball and the history of the national parks. The guy's a very, very gifted filmmaker. Is he a gifted analyst of this state of America's development, America's story? Listen, clip 15.
The problem is that this is the most fraught time, I think, in the history of our republic. I'm just finishing a film on Benjamin Franklin for next year, and at the end of the Constitutional Convention, you know the story, Brian, the doors are flung open, and Elizabeth Willing Powell, leading lady of Philadelphia, who of course has no rights in this new constitution, zero, none, zip, says, well, Dr. Franklin, what have you created, a monarchy or a republic? And he says, a republic if you can keep it. And I think this is where the rubber is meeting the road. We're at this desperate place, the convergence of all those viruses, the side effects of the misinformation and the paranoia and the paranoia lying, voter suppression, and then the rewriting of our history, our saying that we're not interested in facts, we're not interested in the truth, we're not interested in the many varied voices that make us up. Somehow we're now certain that our children can't stand anything but a sanitized Madison Avenue version of our history, when in fact we're enriched by the variety and that complexity and the undertow. We understand the nuances of who we are.
Okay, this is terrible, actually. And again, the idea that there is voter suppression at a time when there are record turnouts in elections in every form. Now, there weren't record turnouts in the New York primary election, but that's partially because they used this new system that confused everybody, the ranked choice system, which is a terrible idea. But the notion that there are serious attempts at voter suppression because in Texas they don't want to legitimize or continue to legitimize one county standing out and doing 24-hour drive-through voting. Really? Does that amount to voter suppression at a time of record turnouts? It's nonsense, but there is a sense that many people have that things are just going wrong. Is it right to blame this on one political party or another? I think it's right partially to blame it on media, which regularly highlight the level of conflict, the level of disagreement, the level of lack of confidence, because it becomes more newsworthy and more dramatic for people. There has been dramatic improvement, obviously, in the COVID-19 situation, though people are terribly worried about slipping back. The head of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, was actually testifying before a Senate committee, and she made a number of dramatic statements about where we are that ought to concern every single American. This is what she had to say about the situation regarding COVID-19 at this moment? Listen.
In areas where vaccine coverage is low, cases and hospitalizations are starting to climb again. Over the last week, we have averaged 239 deaths per day, an increase of nearly 48% over the prior week. Each death is tragic and even more heartbreaking when we know that the majority of these deaths could be prevented with a simple, safe, available vaccine. Areas with limited vaccine coverage are allowing for the emergence and rapid spread of the highly transmissible Delta variant. CDC has released estimates of variants across the country and predicted the Delta variant now represents 83% of sequenced cases. This is a dramatic increase from 50% the week of July 3rd. In some parts of the country, the percentage is even higher, particularly in areas of low vaccination rates. In summary, the overwhelming majority of deaths from COVID-19 are now occurring in unvaccinated people. Vaccines are widely available across the country, and this suffering and loss is simply and entirely preventable, nearly. For our entire nation to heal and move forward, we must do all our part to get our country vaccinated.
Okay, obviously that is a message that I think that responsible Americans ought to be able to agree upon. It doesn't mean that you force people to get vaccinated, but certainly to urge them to and to stop some of the paranoia. There's actually an interesting commentary today that we will get to suggesting that people have been talking a great deal about this loneliness epidemic in the United States with a bunch of surveys and studies and analysis that shows that many people say they don't have any friends. And of course, that's been accentuated by the lockdowns for COVID-19. If you can't go out to bars or to any kinds of social events or theater events or go out to the movies, just go out with your friends. It's tough to maintain friendships. And with all of that going on, with people having less connection, they're more likely, and this is a point that is made by Hannah Arendt, the great writer on sociology and philosophy, that when people are more lonely, when they are less involved in some kind of meaningful social network, they're more willing to believe nonsense, like QAnon. Why do I mention QAnon here? Well, because I would imagine that when you talk about the people who are anti-vaxxers, and there's more on that right now, people who say they will never, ever, ever get a COVID-19 vaccine, even if their life is at stake, I think there's a lot of overlap with people who believe in conspiracies, like QAnon believers. We will get to that, some shocking new polls, and what happens next, all coming up on The Medved Show.
You're listening to The Mighty.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's a new Axios poll survey that says that 30% of U.S. adults say they haven't gotten the COVID-19 vaccine yet. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, how does that add up? How 30% haven't gotten it yet? Isn't it more than that? Well, remember, President Biden was aiming for 70% of everybody to have the vaccine by July 4th. And here we are 2 weeks later almost. And actually, we're more than 2 weeks later. Let's get the addition right. And we do have close to 70% now. We had, I think, on July 4th, they said 67% or 68%. So we're close to that 70%. But 30% of U.S. adults is still, what, it's close to 100 million people. It's a lot of people. And when you look at that, those are people who say they haven't gotten COVID-19 vaccine yet. And more than half of them, according to this poll, say they're not at all likely to get that shot. And some say absolutely they are refusing. They will not get that shot. The Biden administration's, this is from Axios, the Biden administration's Olivia Rodrigo play won't reach a lot of the holdouts, according to these results. 70% said the endorsement of a celebrity or public figure they like is not at all likely to get them to take a shot. And just 4% said they'd be very likely to do it. What if your boss gave you paid time off to get the shot? 63% said they'd still not be at all likely to do it. In other words, even if your boss gives you time off to take the shot, it doesn't cost you anything, you still don't want to do it? I mean, one of the things that is just incredible to me, and I don't want to jump on a guy when he's down, but there's a player for the Mariners named Jake Fraley who's been having a really good season. He's really a promising young player and been doing great. And now he's on leave because he got COVID. Now, this is very serious when you're on a baseball team, you're in a locker room, you're with people all the time. And how do you get COVID? He's not vaccinated. Okay, how dumb can you be? Now, is it wrong to talk about, the idea that there isn't a great deal of encouragement, let's even say pressure, to get a vaccine if you're playing on a Major League Baseball team? Otherwise, you're taking the risk of being part of a super spreader event, like the Texas Democrats. There are now at least six of them, the runaway Texas Democrats who rode on a private plane, and probably on a private plane, they don't have the same kind of precautions that you're required to take on a regular public flight. And who knows how many people were sharing those cans of Miller Lite that they came packed with for their journey to Washington, D.C. But six of the Texas Democrats, six of 50, that's a pretty high rate of infection. Jen Psaki was asked about whether she considered that a super spreader event. This is how it went in the press briefing this morning. Listen, clip four.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. More than 10% of the traveling party with these Texas Democrats now claim to have a breakthrough case. Is there any concern that this trip that was intended to advocate for voting rights is now a super spreader event in Washington?
Well, I would say that's not a characterization we're making from here. We certainly understand there will be breakthrough cases. Even vaccines that are incredibly effective are not foolproof. They're not 100% effective. We've seen that. Here's the good news, though. We know that these vaccines, that these individuals, I think, if I'm correct, have been vaccinated. It means that it protects from death. It protects from serious illness. It protects, for the most part, from hospitalization. So that is a good sign.
Now that COVID-19, after contact with those Democrats, has reached the White House, what is your message to these Texas Democrats?
Our message continues to be, thanks for standing up for voting rights and the rights of Americans to have their voices heard at the voting booth, and we appreciate their efforts in that regard.
Okay, the White House has confirmed in the last 2 days that Kamala Harris, who met with the Texas Democrats and on the Super Spreader special, that Kamala Harris actually was tested for COVID-19 shortly after that meeting, which is probably a good thing. Not a good thing. U.S. News and World Report headline, a new survey from Yahoo News YouGov paints an alarming picture of vaccine hesitancy across the country as cases spike. Unvaccinated Americans say vaccines are riskier than the virus. A large share of unvaccinated Americans say the COVID-19 vaccine poses a greater risk to their health than the virus itself, according to a poll released today. Okay, this is insane. This is extremely disturbing. How could normal people believe that the vaccine was riskier than the virus. Let me just give you two numbers, okay? Three numbers. The number of cases of COVID-19 that have been diagnosed here and been treated, 34.1 million. And that's more than one out of every 10 human beings in the United States has had COVID-19. How many have died? 609,000. And how many doses of the vaccines have gone out? 334 million. That, of course, is because you really need two doses for each person. But a total of 334 million doses. And they have a very careful records of how many people have died in following those doses of vaccines. 6,079. And get this, they are not people who have died because of the vaccine. Some of the causes for death are uncertain. However, most of them, that's just people who have died following getting a vaccine, some of whom had pre-existing conditions, and some of them would have died anyway. But to say that the vaccine with that level, 6,079 out of 334 million people, to say that it is more dangerous than the virus itself is just nuts. We will get back to this, and I know you have some calls that you're waiting on. We will get to the calls. 1-800-955-1776. Coming right up.
Michael Medved.
That phrase may sound shrill or alarmist.
Every once in a while, there's a political cartoon that I think sums up arguments fairly effectively. That's the case with a cartoon just posted today by Nick Anderson. I don't know him, don't know his work, but he has a picture of a graveyard, and there are a number of headstones. And one headstone says anti, the other headstone says vaxxers. And there's some words coming out from the first headstone to the other headstone. And with these two anti-vaxxers in the graveyard, we weren't going to let the libs tell us what to do. And then under vaxxers, nope, we showed them. Given the fact, as the CDC said today, there's a situation where you can just dramatically reduce your chances of pain and suffering and death. What would prevent you from doing it? Other than just sheer cussedness or believing lies and misinformation. It's a real challenge for the country right now because the economy and the health of the country, basically the whole health of our medical system depends on doing better than we're doing right now in terms of finishing the job of getting a vaccinated, protected public. Let me go directly to your calls and to Brian in Mukilteo, Washington. You're on the MedVed Show.
Hey, Michael. Hey, you know, I tune into your show every now and again, and I often hear you defer to people that are vaccine hesitant as conspiracy theorists and tend to be the group of people that are QAnon believers, right? And I think what you're doing is you're trying to class people into these like tinfoil hat types that are uneducated and they don't really see what the truth is. But I have, and I'm reading this as I speak to you, I have paperwork that was attached to a family member's Moderna vaccine, and it has all kinds of warnings on it. But one of the things, a couple things that people, all they got to do is read the attached paperwork. These are not FDA-approved vaccines. These are experimental vaccines. They have not been through full clinical trials. And it also, the paperwork says these vaccines are not have not been proven to prevent coronavirus.
Okay.
Not only, in addition, we see the evidence. People see all throughout different media reports, especially local media reports, people having violent reactions and even death from these vaccines. So to say that it's a bunch of tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists that aren't...
Well, I'm sorry,
Brian.
Brian, it's not. And again, if you're talking about people who have said at this point that nothing will get me to take a vaccine, I mean, if my boss pays me for the time, and the idea that you are talking about risk, the level of risk is infinitesimally lower than the risk of actually getting the virus itself, particularly some of these new variants. Let me ask you this. If you actually believe what you're saying, that this is just an experimental drug, there's been no proof that it's actually worked, why everywhere on planet Earth that people have gotten vaccinated in any numbers at all, have the number of cases gone down so dramatically? Has the death rate gone down so dramatically? Why is it that right now, according to all sources, over 99% of the people who are diagnosed with new COVID cases are not vaccinated? How could that be?
You're wrong.
I am not wrong. Unless you believe that every health service in every country in the world is lying about this.
No, you're lying, Michael. Okay? The new cases, people that are getting coronavirus right now are people that have been vaccinated. And not only that.
Okay, I'm sorry. Where's your information? What's your source of information from that? The CDC, the National Institutes of Health in the United States. Talk to anyone in any hospital in King County or Snohomish County. I know you're in Snohomish County. The belief that the most people who are getting the coronavirus right now are vaccinated, where's your source?
Well, I mean, you just prior to your commercial break, you talked about all these Texas, the Democrats that they avoided the vote for the voter, for the voter validation law, and they went to D.C., they were all vaccinated. They all got coronavirus. They all spread it amongst each other.
Well, they haven't all. Six of them have. My guess is I don't trust the Texas Democrats about much of anything. I don't know that they're vaccinated. Neither do you. But again, with what they can confirm is that the overwhelming majority, they say 99% or more, it could be as high as 99.5%, of the new cases that are happening in the country right now are among unvaccinated people. And by the way, it correlates very directly with counties. The number of vaccinations in a given county will help to show you how many new cases they have. And if the vaccines don't work, why did the number of cases and the number of deaths go down so dramatically and wonderfully, frankly, when people began to be vaccinated? Brian, good luck. I hope you come around for your sake and for the sake of the whole area. Derek in Seattle. Derek, you're on the Medved Show.
Michael, hey, thanks. So as a 40-year-old healthy male with no comorbidities, I'm sure you'll agree, my chances of having serious complications as a result of contracting COVID are vanishingly small. Yes, I may get the sniffles, which, you know, I've gotten periodically over the course of my life. And that's a risk that I'm more than happy to tolerate.
Hold on 1 minute. You also have a very real risk of giving it to somebody else who's more vulnerable. If you get the fact that you have low symptoms doesn't mean that you aren't very capable of transmitting the virus to people around you who may be older, may be more vulnerable.
There's a very, very deep rabbit hole we can go down if we start thinking about we have to compromise potentially our own health.
How are you compromising your own health? How are you compromising your own health by getting a vaccine?
Well, that's an unknown, isn't it? Because there's very little history on this vaccine. You know,
okay,
that there are
334 million doses is not an unwritten history. Go ahead.
You know that there are countless medicines that have been fully approved by the FDA in the past that turned out to be severely destructive human condition.
Which vaccines? Tell me a vaccine. I know about thalidomide. I know about other medicines. But tell me, which vaccine has been severely dangerous?
Well, is this coronavirus shot technically a vaccine? Is it technically a vaccine? Is it pharmaceutically comparable to the vaccines that you're trying to cite as being reliable? Vaccines, by the way.
Yes, it is. And again, who do you believe, if you believe that all these people are lying to you, why are they doing it? What's the possible motivation? And this is part of why I think we should go back to what Ken Burns had to say, because it's scary. We will be right back on the MedVed Show. On the Michael Medved Show, there's a piece with some of the numbers that's, I think, somewhat useful and gives some perspective on everything that we've been talking about with callers. As of July 6th, the Centers for Disease Control reported 5,186 cases of breakthrough COVID-19 cases that led to severe disease among 157 million fully vaccinated people in the U.S. That's about a 0.003% breakthrough rate for severe disease. Of the 5,186 severe illnesses, 4,909 were hospitalizations, and 988 led to death. So breakthrough infections are rare, even among people who are more vulnerable, even among people who get the new Delta variant. See, the point about these breakthrough cases is it's also not about people who are getting a bad reaction to the vaccine. It's not caused by the vaccine. It's an indication of some people can get infected and can get the virus even though they have been properly vaccinated. And you may remember, what's with these different numbers? There's 157 million fully vaccinated people. Remember, we began the show, we were talking about 330 million doses that have gone out, 334 million doses. But see, that's because there are two doses for most of the vaccines. I guess that Johnson & Johnson is a single vaccine. If you compare that with the state of the pandemic in December, before vaccines were widespread, there were 6.3 million new infections in December, 123,000 hospitalizations, and more than 65,000 deaths from COVID-19 were recorded that one month, even with less than half the U.S. population currently vaccinated, fully vaccinated. COVID-19 vaccines have helped cause a gigantic drop in what's going on. It's about 280 new cases a week. Let's go quickly to Dave in Bellingham, Washington. Dave, you're on the MedVed Show.
Hey, 1996 KVI 570 dittos, Michael.
Hey, thanks very much. 1996 was my very first year. and we're coming up to the 25th anniversary. Go ahead.
A few thoughts. One of them, I am associated with a group of folks up here that study the Bible in a fellowship, and many of them were reluctant to get the vaccine. And they're smart, reasonable people that look for truth. I went ahead and got it because my wife got it, and she made me a appointment over at the Bellingham Tech College. But I was willing to turn around such that to not get it, say that the Holy Spirit says, hey, don't do it. And I encountered some protesters on the way into the tech college, and they, you know, said something about vaccines, and they asked me, well, why are you getting it? I'm like, well, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm willing to die right now, and hopefully I will if they give me this shot. Well, it didn't happen. But it led me to start thinking about some things. And one is, can you share your thoughts on the difference between smallpox and the polio and a standard flu shot? Because it seems that these shots are somewhere in between a regular flu shot and smallpox or polio vaccines.
Well, again, I'm not an expert on vaccines. I don't pretend to be. But I do know that flu shots... My wife, until very recently, has been very opposed to flu shots because they don't work all the time. They work for many people. They work for more people than they don't. But it doesn't really take away your risk. And she's had some bad reactions to flu shots. And with flu shots, the overwhelming majority of the time, you're not talking about a serious or deadly disease. Now, that doesn't mean people don't die from flu. They do. They die in some big numbers, but that's because so many people get infected. The point being that all we know is what we've learned in the last, 6 months since we've begun giving these shots in any numbers. And all of the reports, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Hindu or a profound atheist, the numbers are very clear. Getting this little shot, which you did, good for your wife, has greatly reduced your chances of serious illness or death, and has also greatly reduced your chances of giving the virus to somebody else. And that's a good thing, it seems to me. What is not a good thing is the mood that is expressed by Ken Burns, I think fairly eloquently. And I want to listen to this again because I think this is something we have to come to terms with. This is a pandemic of its own. This is documentarian Ken Burns talking to Brian Williams on MSNBC, clip 15.
The problem is that this is the most fraught time, I think, in the history of our republic. I'm just finishing a film on Benjamin Franklin for next year, and at the end of the Constitutional Convention, you know the story, Brian, the doors are flung open, and Elizabeth Willing Powell, leading lady of Philadelphia, who, of course, has no rights in this new Constitution, zero, none, zip, says, well, Mr. Franklin, Dr. Franklin, what have you created, a monarchy or a republic? And he says, a republic if you can keep it. And I think this is where the rubber is meeting the road. We're at this desperate place, the convergence of all those viruses, the side effects of the misinformation and the paranoia and the lying, voter suppression, and then the rewriting of our history, our saying that we're not interested in facts, we're not interested in the truth, we're not interested in the many varied voices that make us up. Somehow we're now certain that our children can't stand anything but a sanitized Madison Avenue version of our history, when in fact we're enriched by the variety and that complexity and the undertow. We understand the nuances of who we are.
Okay, if we understand the nuances of who we are, why is this moment so fraught? And I do believe that there's a very real problem today, and I appreciate the job that Ken Burns has done about that problem in most of his documentaries. But the problem is people trying to use history for their own propagandistic purposes. And the idea of the controversy that we have about history is not people wanting a sanitized Madison Avenue version of things, as he's suggesting. It's the idea of not trying to say that everything that has happened in America has been full of guilt and shame and shortcomings, and not looking in context. And it's a double context that we desperately need. And I'm surprised to see Ken Burns seeming to speak against it. It's a context of, first of all, the rest of the world. When you talk about America's history of racism, that's compared to what country exactly that has been beyond a history of some regrettable examples of xenophobia and racism? Sure, that's been part of our heritage, but less so than any other place on earth. And the progress that has been made, it's not just comparing us to other nations, it's comparing our country and even this moment with where we were before. This is the most fraught moment in the history of the Republic. By what standard, for goodness sake? I mean, leave aside the Civil War or the middle of World War II or the lead up to World War II, where there were massive, there were examples of pro-Hitler sentiment in this country before the World War. And look at the 60s, for goodness sake, where there were real attempts to blow up our Capitol building. They actually set a bomb off in the Capitol building, and I think it was early 70s. And there were people creating bank robberies and kidnapping. Remember the Symbionese Liberation Army? And all of the craziness and the violent riots that were all across the country that were much worse than everything we experienced just now, even during the summer following the killing of George Floyd. Context conquers lies. And right now we need context, not only talking about America's past and the fact that we have made a tremendous amount of progress. We have more progress than we have problems. And the progress should be an encouragement to solving the problems that we do have. We'll talk about that and more about solving the problem of the pandemic. If you don't like vaccines, how are you going to solve it? Just a question out there. And many more to discuss and to explore in this greatest nation on God's green earth.